everybody, and welcome back to one more amazing week of the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am your friend, your neighbor, your boy, Pastor John McClain, here with my friend, my neighbor, my boy, Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself.
Yes. Let's do this, man.
Let's do it.
Let's get it popping.
It's that time. Absolutely. We got another amazing show for you guys ready this week to proceed. An awesome show last week with Dr. J, as usual on this show. And then we also had, I guess I'll have you say her name.
Anna Charbonneau.
Charbonneau, that is just smooth. With Impact Southern Arizona, talking about all the amazing work that they do. But today, we certainly have another action-packed show for you, as we have Dr. Edward Franklin on the show with us today with many different groups, many different parts, but he's here speaking with about Veterans Agricultural Education and Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest. If that seems like a mouthful, it's because it is. And all the amazing work that actually we're collectively doing together, Veteran Rescue Mission being part of one of those, the groups that are part of this overall organization to help teach veterans how to do agriculture, and hopes to make the industry more robust, and as well as making it so those veterans can possibly find jobs or possibly find businesses in the industry, as well as we'll be speaking with Delvin Crawford. He is one of the people that directs one of the splash houses under Gap Ministries, and we definitely look forward to speaking with him and all the and all the amazing stuff that's going on with Gap Ministries, as well as, you know, the foster program that they do, the mini houses that they run. So, but like usual on this show, the Common Good Radio Show, we are going to give it up to a very loving father who blesses us very much, and I'm sure he's going to bless us with another awesome radio show with the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer goes a little something like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is the punch. And that's the juice. That is the logs in the fire that get this show going.
Yes.
And let's get it fired up. And I think a good way to get it started is I'd like to say, you know, one of my colleagues under the Veterans Agricultural Education Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest, we have Dr. Edward Franklin. Thank you for being on the show with us, Dr. Franklin.
Thank you, Pastor John. I appreciate the opportunity. I hope you are doing well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got it. I think, you know, especially with everything that's going on in the world, I think I'm handling things pretty well. And I'm certainly, it's been really exciting, you know, doing our part or my part within the Veterans Agricultural Education and Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest, or we call it the AgVet. So I'm super excited to hear your part in it, because this... The awesome thing I think about your part is you pretty much are like the doctor of what we do, you know, with teaching veterans how to do agriculture. So I'm super excited to hear kind of your perspective on it, because we've had, I think, three or four different people from AgVets on our radio show now. So this will be super cool. So, and the question that I ask them all when they come on the show, and I'll start it off with this to you. What is Veterans Agriculture Education Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest exactly?
That's a great question. And we are a program that is grant funded, and our goal is to create opportunities for returning veterans to gain hands-on skills to get them employable in some of the most exciting industries tied to agriculture. Agriculture is the one thing that everybody benefits from, because it's the production of food and fiber. And our program has many different facets. We're talking about the green industry, where we're getting folks engaged in doing things and hands-on with plants and trees and gardens and vegetables. We have a program designed for folks looking at the agribusiness industry. And then on my side, which I really enjoy is the opportunity to learn things related to solar and drone technology and two-stroke engine maintenance and operation.
Oh, what does the drone and all these technological things that they're coming out with, how are they going to contribute to the agriculture?
Well, good question. The drone technology is just, I'm sorry, didn't cut you off. The drone technology has really exploded in terms of the available jobs and opportunities. And part of it has really been caused by what we're dealing with right now with COVID, because people can't get in there and do things right on site like they normally would. So now they're relying on drone technology to be able to bring these craft in, to take the pictures, to videotape, and to help map fields, for example, for agriculture growers, so they can make better decisions on how to manage their inputs. For example, where are they going to put fertilizer, or where, how much water they're going to be able to put on a field. And so agriculture relies on up-to-date technology so they can minimize, you know, the costs of producing food and fiber. The solar industry is also relying on drone technology because it's safer to put a drone up above a building than it typically is for somebody to climb up on a ladder to inspect that building. And then they can also look at a large field, at a residential or commercial application, maybe a field that they're going to put in a large system, and they can do maintenance on it. So drones are being used in quite a number of industries. Construction uses them, the environment, obviously. And so there is a big demand for folks who can be commercially licensed to operate drones. And so this is one of the areas that we're hoping to introduce to the people that are wanting to come into the program, let them know what those concepts are and what skills and steps they need to take if this is an area they choose to go into.
Yeah, and I guess another question I had was, what are some of the things that Veterans Agricultural Education Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest has accomplished so far? I know I want to think what we're going on, you know, a year and a half, 2 years of doing this program. What's been the status so far?
Right. Well, we've identified the curriculum that we wanted to offer through the program, and then setting up the format in terms of how we're going to go out, recruit people, bring them into the program, and then take them through the steps to ensure that they're going to get a good experience and that it's going to be meaningful to them at the end. So what are we looking at is developing a process and a step-by-step method. So we were recruiting people who want to come into the program. We do an entrance interview. And of course, with our current situation, we're doing all of this by Zoom or by telephone. We do an orientation with a program overview. We help them identify and select what things that they're interested in most to help us plan it, and then help them with time planning. Then they conduct an entrance survey. We are looking at creating online classes anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks in length. There are 8 credits total with 2 credit per class.
Nice.
There's virtual discussion with our faculty.
Sorry to cut you off there, Dr. Franklin. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. But everybody out there, hold in there. We'll be back with Dr. Franklin after this break. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission, and we'll be right back.
Do you have some gently used clothes, furniture, or vehicles that you'd like to donate to an organization that's helping connect our local veterans to housing, benefits, and the services they need to transition into civilian life? Then come to Veteran Thrift at 2241 North Oracle to donate your goods, time, to shop, or to take advantage of our free item program every Friday. Veteran Thrift, with your help, can get unhoused veterans the help they need.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
To the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am still Pastor John McClain here with the groovy, funky dancing, doing the swim in studio. Andreas Ruiz with I Believe in Myself. And I think we've started this off so far. So good, huh?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I feel good, man.
Like usual, Dr. Franklin is bringing the noise. We got another guest bringing the noise, educating us on stuff we never even considered. Definitely the effects of COVID. And we'll welcome back to the show, Dr. Franklin. Thank you, Dr. Edward Franklin. Thank you for being on the show with us.
Yes.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for having me with you.
Yeah. And so you talked a little bit before last segment about the effects that COVID has had on farming and agriculture and, and how the industry is adapting to us. Tell us a little bit more on how veteran agricultural education and apprenticeship program in the Southwest has been affected by COVID-19.
Well, we've had to really adjust our presentation style and approach. As an agriculture educator, I'm very hands-on. And so when I'm working with students, my goal for them is to get their hands on the equipment. Because the more senses that somebody can get in and they're touching and they're feeling it, and they're smelling it, they're engaged in it, they're going to remember that. And if they have a great experience with it, it's going to stick with them. And then, that helps them to develop the skill set that they need. So our goal is eventually getting people engaged in doing things. So if I'm working with drones, we want to be able to teach them how to operate a drone. If we're doing things with the solar photovoltaic system, for example, and helping do an installation to power a well, for example, how do we do that? How do we use a multimeter, and how do we install? So that's our goal eventually, is getting our people into the field so we can work with them one-on-one or in small groups. We have field trips lined up. We have farm tours. We have outside organizations that want to bring in, for example, drone equipment that's actually used in agriculture to spray. In fact, one of the groups I'm working with right now, they are actually using their large drone to actually spray disinfectant on baseball stadiums and football seats. So they're disinfecting so, we can bring crowds back in to observe sporting activities. So that's where that drone technology is being used outside of agriculture, but just in what we're dealing with right now with this pandemic. We hope as things improve that we're going to be able to work in smaller groups. We can get outside, get people together so they can start getting some training, for example, working in gardens, working with agriculture equipment like turf equipment, so they begin to feel that they're immersed in some type of process. Eventually, we are looking at developing internship locations so we can have folks actually go and work on-site with a mentor at a particular location, a farm or ranch. It might be a small business. It might be a larger group. So again, so they're developing a skill set that they can use, and later on when they complete a program, they have something that they can look forward to at the end of it.
Yeah, that's interesting. What are some of the ways that people, like particularly veterans, I'm guessing at this point, how can they connect with the Veterans Agriculture Education and Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest? And to the audience that's listening and asking why I'm saying this long name, if you on Facebook, you can find this organization through Veterans Agricultural Education and Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest. But the question back to you, Dr. Franklin, how can people connect with the group outside of Facebook?
Right. We have an email address, and that is VAEPSW, and that's at gmail.com. And that'll get you connected to our staff, and that'll give you some more information. We also have a telephone line if they want to call our office, 520-877-2697, and they can speak with Sophia. She'll get them directed right into our program and help set up opportunities for people to interview, to actually join our cohort and get ready to learn. So we are on the Facebook, like you mentioned, so that's obviously one site for some people to go to, or like I said, they can email or contact us by phone.
Yeah, and I think you were mentioning it earlier, and I think we had to kind of cut out, but I certainly would like to touch back on it. And assuming that, you know, obviously I am a veteran, but assuming I was a veteran that, you know, wanted to sign up for this program or was interested in this program, what does that look like? What could I expect in reaching out to veterans' agricultural education and apprenticeship program in the Southwest?
Well, one thing is, again, we're focusing on the one group that we feel deserves the most, you know, from us and our respect, and that's the veterans. So if we can get the people who have gone through the similar experiences together, that's a cohort that, you know, they have a unique bind that, you know, people who are not veterans do not have. And so I think, you know, they look across the room and say, that's somebody, you know, who's done the same thing and made the same sacrifices that I do. So, you know, we share that same bond. And what we want to do is just basically show our appreciation, you know, so we want to be able to provide these opportunities to them without those people having to put out any money on their own. You know, this is all funded through a grant, and again, it's word of mouth, trying to get people in there. And the hard part for us now is that we've had to pull back a little bit because of obviously COVID. We haven't been able to engage in our, you know, face-to-face activities as we plan. We do have some plans down the road, hopefully in a few weeks. As things lighten up a little bit, that we might be able to get people in small groups and be able to, you know, bring in some equipment, set up a field day event where they can get engaged in some hands-on activities. So we're looking for that opportunity when that helps us out.
And just curious, by any chance, is it just for vets or is it also available to other people? I know it says ag vets, but because it sounded like maybe the main focus is vets, but is there any possible way that other people can get involved as well?
Well, our primary focus is the veterans, but if veterans have somebody that, you know, they think is can be beneficial from it, we certainly want to visit with them. Okay. And to make sure that, you know, what our goal is to make sure that when we hopefully we get a commitment and that we get people that are going to stay with the program. So part of the entrance is just doing this interview is to find out where they would like to go with the skills that they want to learn. And if, say, you know, I'm really into agribusiness and I want to grow crops, great. We're going to steer them that direction. If they say, I want to do something, you know, with the solar or with growing crops, okay, we're going to combine, you know, a program for them. So we're going to let them kind of pick and choose what they want and then combine those experiences. But if they have somebody that they know that they think will benefit from it, absolutely, we want to talk with them and see if we can make that work.
Okay, thank you.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Franklin, for coming on the show with us. That's Dr. Edward Franklin with the University of Arizona, as well as with the Veterans Agricultural Education Apprenticeship Program in the Southwest. We will be back right after these messages. This is a Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. We also want you to stop on by 2241 North Oracle. As an organization, Veteran Rescue Mission opened up a new thrift store, and we are looking for any donations you possibly can muster. This is a thrift store opened by, as I said, our homeless transition program, Veteran Rescue Mission. This thrift store will help us better serve our shelter as well as connect veterans with the housing and the benefits that they need. So certainly please stop by 2241 North Oracle. Also, you can get more information at veteranrescuemission.org. As I've said before, this is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain here with my partner in crime, Andrea Ruiz, and we will be back right after these illustrious messages.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to VeteranRescueMission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at VeteranRescueMission.org. North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
Hi, I'm Andres Ruiz, the co-host of Common Good Radio Show and the founder of community building organization I Believe in Myself. And I am offering a free rundown and consultation to the first 10 listeners to sign up for a private or group life coaching consultation at IBelieveInMyself.org. We all need good support to help us to take our life to the next level. So let me help you believe in yourself so that you can pursue your goals and dreams and ultimately find your life's purpose. Go to IBelieveInMyself.org today to sign up and get more information.
Now back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I don't have as smooth and silky voice as that guy does, yeah. But we're still here. I am Pastor John McClain here with my motivational coach buddy, little chum over there, Mr. Andres Ruiz, ready to chop it up. Ready to chop
let's
him off,
it.
Right?
Yeah, let's, yeah, do it,
let's get
let's
it.
Do it.
So we have in studio, I think it's about to get rocking. For one,
they already got rocking, man.
Thank the Lord we have an in-studio guest. You know how much I hate on-the-phone guests. I love Dr. Franklin, but I hate doing interviews on the phone. But we have, I'm guessing, hopefully a new friend. Hopefully Gap will have him on a regular basis. We have Delvin Crawford in studio with us, one of the house parents with Splash House, is one of the many programs that Gap Ministry runs. Thank you, sir, for being in the studio with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to talk a little bit before we got started, and just it's amazing the work you do. I think it's it's one of my favorite things about doing this show is like we get to speak with like some of the most unsuspected, amazing people in our community that you wouldn't ever even expect that these people or these type of things even existed. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, who you don't think of, you know, day to day. Oh, yeah, that's right. At those foster homes where the kids are, someone has to be there. Someone has to care for them. Someone has to love them as their parents would. So, look, thankfully, we got one of those people in here. And we were saying before, you used to do that at one point. So it's really amazing kind of how, you know, how it all kind of comes full circle in here. And I guess, you know, a question I definitely like to ask people from Gap Ministries regularly is, you know, what is Gap Ministries One, and then what are the Splash Houses?
Most certainly. Well, Gap Ministries is a social service 501c3 nonprofit organization that's been in existence since 1999.
Okay.
So they've been in the game for a minute.
Yeah, a couple decades and then some. Yeah.
Their whole objective is to stand in the gap to help children bring healing to families and also hope to the community.
Okay.
So the thing is that it is what it is, Gap. We want to stand in the gap. We want to make sure that anything that's transpiring in the lives of the children, the community, families, that we could be those individuals to add value to people's lives. And despite what they may have encountered, what they may have been through, not allowing their past to dictate the outcome of their future, letting them know that it's a light at the end of the tunnel. We want to be that type of organization where we can just instill hope and let people know that regardless of what you're going through, there is hope. And the one thing that you can do is not give up on that. And I always say, as long as you don't give up, you'll always place yourself in a position to win the fight.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely. Well said, and so the Splash Houses, tell us more about that. I know there's a few of them. So how's that program work?
So the Splash Houses, we currently right now we have 9 Splash Houses. Preferably we want to have 10 up. But Splash is like an acronym. Spiritually powered love, aggressively shaping hearts. So when you think about spirit and you think about that, in order to do this work, I really believe that, first of all, you got to die to yourself. It's something that you have to make sure that you put the needs of others before your own. Mm-hmm. It's a sacrifice. Yeah. And I think when you think about sacrifice, you think about love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have love, you can give the children something that they probably didn't experience. I mean, a lot of children come from different backgrounds, being in the foster care system, from neglect to abuse, things of that nature, even some situations that we may not even know of. Because, you know, some people may say that, you know, our parents aren't bad. You just don't know the situation. You don't know what transpired. But at the end of the day, we just want to make sure that since they're in that situation, we can be there and give them exactly what it is that they need, why their case is being looked at or whatever they might be going through. Why it's so dear to my heart is because I was kind of in that same situation when I was like around 9 years old, being in a women's shelter when my parents got divorced. And I kind of felt like I was misunderstood. No one was there for me. And I feel like the splash houses, we have different individuals that's there from house parents. We have staff that's there. We have a team that's working with each individual child to give them exactly what it is that they need. And from everything from breakfast, lunch, dinner, just like what a parent would do with their own children, that's what we try to do with the children at the splash houses as well. We don't try to treat it like a group home, even though someone may look at it as a group home. But we all try to make sure that we give the children exactly what it is that they need as if they were our own children.
And I guess before we head to our third break here, elaborate more, if you will. I think I'm sure it's a very beautiful story, and I'll try not to cry if you really get into it. Of what brought you to GAP primarily? I know, you know, more than kind of talking about the part that's going to make me cry, you know, what made you choose GAP specifically?
Well, before I came here to Tucson, I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I was a responsible fatherhood family life coach. Got an opportunity to be a part of a lot of different broadcasts. PBS did a documentary on my work, and I was teaching in the detention centers and the House of Corrections, jails, you name it. But one story in particular really resonated with me. After I got done teaching a class, a young boy came up to me and he asked me, was his dad going to be okay? And I said, well, why would you ask me that? And he said, well, you know, there was times I would try to talk to him and he would just tell me to get out of my face. You know, I'm a grown man. You can't tell me what to do, because he felt like his dad was going to die from alcohol poisoning. And when he said that, he said, you know, I just feel like there's no hope for him and I'm scared for him. So then I kind of told him about my story. Hey, I had a dad in my life. He wasn't there at one point of time, but, you know, he ended up getting into church, found faith, started, you know, joined a choir, got discipled. And I said, I really believe that, you know, if you don't give up, your situation can turn out maybe just like mine. And then he said, well, I don't know if I'm ever see him again. And I said, well, why you say that? He said, man, I'm facing 140 years. And when he told me that, I just shook my head. And, you know, and when you go into the detention center, you have like a class of almost 30 or 35 children right there. And I asked him, you know, I wanted to make sure I had his name straight. And I looked up his name, and there was a situation where he had it was a homicide. He killed two people over weed, money, and video games. So in essence, that compelled me to say, what is it that I can do to help children before they get into that situation, to help them before they get into the detention center, jail or prison? What is it that I can do to bring hope and try to instill morals, values, and principles for them not to involve themselves in these type of situations?
And GAP was the place where that could happen.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Beautiful.
Well, that's Delvin Crawford. We have in studio with us with one of the house parents, Splash Houses at GAP Ministries. You guys hang in there. We'll be back right after these messages for some more stuff. Get your tissues ready, people. We'll bring the noise.
Yeah, man. This is good.
Yeah, God bless.
Here Comes That Dreamer is a film documentary created by P.J. McArdle. It's about an Iraq war veteran who comes home and uses war tactics he learned in Iraq to fight for the homeless in Tucson. to get a copy of the documentary Here Comes That Dreamer, or to find out how you can show support and get involved with helping Tucson's homeless population, visit HereComesThatDreamer.com.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com. to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
With the help of the Tucson community, Veteran Rescue Mission has been able to help hundreds of local veterans get connected with their benefits and housing. And with your continued help, we can do better. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to donate or see how you can get involved to make our homeless veteran tiny house village and transition center a reality. Come be part of a solution to ending veteran suicide and homelessness in our community today at veteranrescuemission.org.
Back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission on 1030 The Voice.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain. Just calm, you know, calm and easy. Nothing special, nothing fancy. Here with Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself, in case you didn't know. And we have Delvin Crawford in studio with us, one of the house parents with one of the 9 splash houses with Gap Ministry. As he was talking about, they wish they had 10 going, because they actually have 10 houses available to run, but because of something, I think they call it COVID-19 or something of that nature, they've been having issues, staffing issues, as I think kind of like a lot of organizations are hit with. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I really believe that COVID has played a major factor on people probably want to come into the homes, because there's this, I'll say, for lack of better words, fear that, hey, maybe I can contract this, or maybe I'm putting myself at risk. We do everything that we can to make sure that we protect ourselves and also protect the children. And we make sure that children are wearing masks when they go on their visits, when they, you know, if they have something going on at school or court. We make sure that the place is always sanitized every shift, you know, even for third shift. We always want to make sure that we're putting ourselves in the best position if it's possible to make sure that we're protecting the children and protecting ourselves as well. When it comes down to, I'll say, people wanting to possibly work at Gap but have a fear of it, I would just say that sometimes you just have to say, hey, what is it that I can do to make a difference? There's over 400,000 children in the foster care across the United States and 19,000 here in Arizona. And you have like about 4,500 foster families that's licensed. So you could definitely see the need just talking about the numbers. So I know that there's a lot of people that are concerned about a lot of different issues that's going on in America and our country, period. But the truth of the matter is, our children, I always say that we are our children's reality show. And if we are there to bring something that they could have hope in or gravitate to that's going to be more beneficial for their life rather than tear them down, I think that it's our responsibility to stand in a gap and make sure that we do our due diligence in giving the children that we serve a better future on kind of the things that they're seeing from radio, media, or whatever other outlet that they may be putting their mind and their hearts on.
What would you say right now is the biggest gap for the youth right now, that they're the biggest challenge out of everything that you see?
Biggest gap, pun intended.
I would say fatherhood. I would say fatherhood. Statistically, we know that when a father is not in a home, you have a lot of different things, from behavioral issues, emotional issues. You have just some mental issues that children deal with. The father plays a significant part in that role of making sure that they can give the children what they need. I'll give you a story, quick story. I remember I had my son one day and we went to the park. And when we were at the park, I'll say he's probably about 5 years old at this time. And he had to go use the restroom. So he was holding my hand. And as he was holding my hand, you know, a little kid, he's skipping and jumping and doing what he do. And there were two elderly couples that were seeing him while he was holding my hand. And when they seen him, you know, just jumping everywhere, they looked at him and said, man, you're a little wild child. Look at you. You're a little wild child. Huh. And the thing was that, you know, we went to the restroom. We came back out the restroom and they were right there. You know, we were going right back to the playground and they continued to say it. You're a little wild child. They had a smile on their face, you know, and my son looked up to me and he said, Dad, am I a little wild child? And I said, no, son, you're not a wild child. And he looked at them. He said, I'm not a wild child. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. And God loves me.
Now,
he said that because every time I would drop him off at school, I will always tell him that. I'll get at his level, look in his eyes and say, son, you're smart. You're intelligent. And God loves you.
Love it.
He'd never say anything, but I'll say like after 2 years, he always remembered that.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I bring that up, children are like a sponge and they retain and they process certain things that we don't even know what they're processing and how they're processing it. Mm-hmm. But that spoke volumes to me because it showed the influence that I had on my child.
There you go.
So when you think about the children at the splash houses, and I want to disregard mothers here. I mean, mothers are very important as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But to have that father there to build up their self-esteem and who they are and they can identify who they are and know whose they are. I think that it'll have a world of difference in their life to not listening to those outside voices that can lead them down a road that leads to negativity and destruction.
Mm-hmm. I love that, man, because you know, society. I used to listen to the radio, watch TV. That influenced me. So when you don't have, like, I had my father, but you know, my father just, you know, he tried his best and all this stuff, but I was more influenced by the TV, by listening to Tupac, Biggie. You know, they're great rappers and everything, but you know, they were not the greatest role models. And so then for a lot of the generations, for example, when I used to work with the shelters, you know, they're looking at people like, you know, Bad Bunny and all these guys that are really famous, you know, and they feel like that's the true role model. And that, I see why there's a gap right there, man, no pun intended, in regards to fatherhood, man. So kudos to you, man, for what you do, brother. Thank you, man.
Thanks for bringing that up, because that's exactly what goes on in the houses. I see that when children are gravitating to that type of music and they're looking at the videos and they're watching these things that they feel like is something that validates their importance. And then I'm able to stand in a gap, like you said, to say, hey, you know, this is what you might see, but let me tell you about my experience and those things and what it can lead into that you don't want to have any part of your life. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, as I see you guys too, I kind of share this moment. I just think about, you know, and I'm in the, you know, social service industry as well. And I just know there's such a deficiency of males in our industry. And as you're pointing out so eloquently, there's the big problem that we have in our society is a lack of fathers in the household. And that's just a thing. Particularly, we have nothing but minorities in this studio right now. Among, you know, minority cultures, this is a prominent. So certainly, you know, I guess we can all suggest to those out there, particularly the men that haven't tried, you know, get a job in social service. You know, whether it's volunteering, part time, full time, it's certainly been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life. I don't know if I have quite the patience to work with children like the both of you have. Great. I certainly enjoyed quite a bit whenever, Andreas, you'd bring the kids from your work over to volunteer at our Homeless Veteran Transition Center. But yeah, and I guess kind of like let's continue to add on in regards to the needs that the splash houses have or even Gap has. What would you say would be like the greatest need that the splash houses have right now? You know, we talked about they can't even get, you know, the 10th house going right now because of a lack of staff. What are some of the other great needs that they have?
I would say we're just not a foster, you know, foster care agency. We also deal a lot of things in the community. We have a warehouse. We have individuals that, say, for instance, if they were a former offender, can actually have opportunities at Gap to get a culinary degree as far as when it comes down to food. Mm-hmm. We have a chef right on site at our organization that teaches free classes for people that would like to come in and learn how to cook food and become a chef. Mm-hmm. So I would say our biggest need is just support, you know, getting this message out. You know, you all opening up your radio stations and people getting a better understanding of who Gap is and what we're trying to do. But I would say the most important need that we have is finding people that want to be about this work, that want to stand in the gap. You know, I mean, I think that back in the day, my dad used to tell me that actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. And you can talk real good about what you want to do, but let's go ahead and let's start to do it, you know? And even if you are a little bit uncertain on how this whole thing works, visit the organization, you know, come down to the building and talk to our founders, you know, Pam and Greg Ayers, and find out their heart. Because when we're talking about fatherhood, that's their heart, you know. The president of the organization, not only is he a pastor, but one of the things that he wants to do is just make sure that the kids are being loved on. And when it comes down for them having a future and a hope, and plans for good and not evil, that we can be those individuals to be used as vessels for those things to happen in the lives of the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, for sure. We just had Pastor Ayers on the show.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Three or four weeks ago, something like that. And it's eerie almost how a lot of what you're saying, he's saying.
Wow.
You know, like particularly when in the founding of Gap Ministries and the work that they do, it's as you state it to be, you know, either he coached you really, really well or God is working, you know, miracles, you know, through you both. And it's absolutely amazing. And I really can't speak enough about how excited I am to be able to promote Gap Ministries because, you know, the founding of this show was because of organizations like Gap Ministries that are just powerhouses, like literally powerhouses. Wow. Gap Ministries here has 9 different foster homes with foster parents like yourself that are powerhouses in themselves. They got the warehouse program. They got the culinary program. They have the church program. I don't know. I feel like I'm missing a few things even. And it's just amazing that the work that they do. And and once again, I guess, you know, thank you, Delvin Crawford, for being on the show with us
and for talking more.
Certainly, as I mentioned before, you should have your own show. Variety show with Delvin Crawford. But thank you for being on. And
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And this is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission and Andreas Ruiz. I think we did it again.
Yes, we did it again.
Yeah, man. Call your mom into the room. Show her how smart you are.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening.
According to a report from the Veterans Administration in 2015, over 22 veterans commit suicide every day. And with the impact of COVID-19, many suspect that number has risen. Go to veteranrescuemission.org today to do your part to support a local veteran organization that is working through shelter services, benefit navigation, and housing placement to help veteran and veteran suicide today. This message made possible by Dispo Packaging.
Hello, KBOI listeners. This is Dr. Jennifer Herrera with the Making College Come True radio show, inviting you to join us every Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. to speak with professionals, educators, and other members of our community to get tips on how to get into college and succeed in college and also explore the possibilities of getting a college degree. Join us this and every week for Making College Come True radio show, where we can help you make college come true for yourself or someone you love.
Gap Ministries is all about impacting one life because they believe that each and every person matters to God. They strive to build up each child they care for and each individual they serve. That is why we at Veteran Rescue Mission volunteer our time in their kitchen and warehouse every week. And we suggest you do too. Go to gapmin.com to get involved and donate to this blessed organization today.